Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. I guess that's good enough, Harold. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Ha, gotcha. So if you have been with us, we have been walking through the book of Hebrews, and we're going to take one more week off from Hebrews before we get started. So hopefully as we get cranked back up into Hebrews next week, we won't have any more breaks. We have taken a break for Advent in the month of December, and then Evan Kinesh preached for us a few weeks ago, the end of December, and then last week Justin Underwood kind of brought the new year in for us. And so this morning we're doing something that we don't do every year, but we have done many years in the life of North Hills, and that is what we call the State of the Church Address. Obviously, if you're into politics at all, it does somewhat follow the timeline and the purpose of the State of the Union, which will happen here sometime in the next few weeks as the President of the United States addresses the U.S. and a watching world, as they will reflect on their administration and whatever they reflect on. I imagine I'll watch a couple minutes of it, but that may be the extent. But this morning, we don't do a State of the Church to pat ourselves on the back or to acknowledge all the great things North Hills has done. But in fact, we actually take a moment. We want to celebrate three things, really. We want to celebrate what God has done in and through North Hills, not only in since we began in 2011, but specifically in this past year. It's also a time of reflection for us, that we can reflect on who we are as a church, who God has called us to be, and then we can look forward to this next year and prayerfully enter this year and asking the Lord for His grace in being a faithful representation of His bride. January, it's just a good time, right, for celebration, reflection, for planning. I'm sure many of you have done that individually, right? You have your great goals for 2020. And if you're like me, you've already crashed some of those goals in the first 12 days. I'm great at crashing goals. But we do these things. It's a great time of reflection. As Ryan said a while ago, today's my birthday. Also, I share a birthday week with my dear friend James Douglas. His was Wednesday. So if you do have any birthday whoopings or anything, reserve those for James. He'll take all the beatings this morning. Plus, he's older, so be fragile. Be fragile with him, all right? But it is a great time of assessment. It is time of year for me as a new year starts, as a new year my own life starts. It's just a good time to look at what God has done and look forward to what He's going to do as we continue to walk with Him. And so we're going to take that approach this morning. But first, let us spend some time celebrating what God has done. I want to turn back to Psalms chapter 145. So Psalm 145, where Brother Sam read for us a few moments ago. As we think about what God has done, we have to celebrate. We have to thank the Lord for what He has done. As we'll see this morning, will be a common theme that all the good and all anything in life is God is sovereign over every aspect, over every circumstance of our life. Whether it's a difficult time or a good time, we thank the Lord. We can look to the Lord and we can trust the Lord. But very rarely do we spend time to celebrate what God has done. So we want to be very intentional this morning celebrating. And the bedrock of that is Psalm 145, and we'll just read the first several verses there. Verse 1, I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And that's what we want to do this morning, is declare the mighty acts and the goodness of God. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Now we know that ultimately, and this is important to say, ultimately the fullness of the goodness of God has been displayed in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and what He has done for us as His people. And that would have been enough, right? If God had done just that, if He had just saved us by the blood of Jesus, that would have been enough. What else could we ask for? But He continues to be a great God. He continues to pour out blessings upon His people. And so we want to celebrate what the Lord has done this morning as we think about the state of North Hills Church. Believe it or not, in 2020, isn't it just weird to say 2020? I know most of you don't write checks anymore. They say 75% of Americans only write one check a month. So I don't know where you fall in that, but if you've written the numbers 2020. But in 2020, we will begin our 10th year as North Hills Church. We'll celebrate 9 years in September and begin our 10th year of ministry. And so God has been faithful to us in every single one of those years. He has been good and gracious and kind. God has sustained us. He has kept us. He has provided for us. And He has led us. All of these years and every year that North Hills will exist will be at the hand and work of God. And 2019 was no different, and 2020 will be no different. And so I submit to you this morning, just kind of in no particular order, several things that we want to particularly celebrate and thank the Lord for as we look back on 2019, as we look forward to 2020. We had four new families join our congregation this past year. I want to call you out by name. It's Dustin Gross, Taylor and J.D. Underwood, Connor and Paige Wilkes, and Jamie Hawthorne. And so seven, I guess, if you count baby Underwood, right? And so we're grateful for all those, even Taylors. So grateful for the Lord, for the families that He's brought to North Hills this year. We celebrated four baptisms in 2019. We saw Taylor and JD baptized, Haley, Kevin, and Maggie McCartney baptized right here behind us this past year. We have gathered to grow in God's Word in a number of ways. And I use some of these words intentionally, as we'll get to this morning, that we are churches committed to gathering, growing, giving, and going. And we have grown in a number of ways. And some of these we often forget about. Some of these, they just kind of happen on a week-to-week basis, and maybe some ways we're not connected to. So I think it's important to celebrate how God's people have grown and are growing, and the ways that God will continue to use to grow individuals in His church. For 52 weeks last year, we gathered on Sunday mornings around the preached Word of God. Now, I joke often. I think I even joked this morning with someone. It's just corny preacher humor, dad jokes, I don't know. But as I invite folks to church, I say, hey, we're open every Sunday. And we take that for granted, right? But we are open every Sunday. We take it for granted our freedom here in America. We take it for granted that we do have facility to gather each and every week. Believe it or not, we started and finished a book in 1 year. Can you believe that? And last year we preached through the book of Esther, or some of y'all call it Esther. We went through the means of grace and spent about 6 weeks walking through and diving through the means of grace that God has given the church to grow the church and grow individuals in grace. And we have started, as we said this morning, the book of Hebrews in 2019. And we may be celebrating that for the next couple Januaries. We'll see how long that takes us. But for 52 weeks, we've gathered around the preached Word of God to grow in His Word. Sunday morning Bible study was added this year in a very specific way. We now have a total of 7 classes that are meeting every Sunday morning from bed babies on up to all ages and all walks of life, and started a new class this morning. We have had on average 10 men every week that meet at 6 o'clock in the morning up here at North Hills Church to meet and to gather around God's Word. And for 3 years, we just finished this past December the 13th, I think, Mark-ish, around that date, a 3-year study of systematic theology. Now let me tell you, it's hard enough to go through systematic theology, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, for men to connect and to walk through that faithfully, that is something to celebrate, that we have grown in God's Word, and to see these men grow and come each week. And this past week, we had 14 guys. Now, it may have helped that we added breakfast this year, Pops, but whatever the Lord has chosen to use to grow it, we are grateful for those men who are coming faithfully each week. And that's also a shameless opportunity to plug that. If you'd like to get connected, man, now's a good time to start as we're walking through the Bible this year on Tuesday mornings. A group of ladies began to meet this past year monthly and completed a study through the book of Joshua. And so again, another opportunity in which God's people are gathering around God's Word, and then we get to celebrate, because we don't get to often see these things each and every week, especially if you're not connected to it. our community groups this year. We grew to six groups. We've never had six groups in the life of North Hills, and we added four new leaders who've never taught, who've never led these groups. And so again, we see increase in not just our groups, but our leadership and those who are leading God's people. We've seen a number of non-member families get connected regularly to community group and get connected to the lifeblood of North Hills Church and experience the love and compassion of God's people. We've started regular youth gatherings on Sunday night, and we've seen anywhere from a dozen to 16 students on a Sunday night come every Sunday. And whether it's for the purpose of connecting and growing in their love for each other, or whether it's gathering around God's Word or singing, whatever the case may be, God is growing and moving even in our group of teenagers. I always pause. Our senior adults, I call them our grown-ups, are those of the wiser years, have began meeting on a regular basis to fellowship and to grow again in their love for one another. And so we see people gathering around the Word of God and gathering around the people of God. We have continued a monthly outreach each month. The first Thursday, is that right, Rocky? I forget sometimes. The first Thursday of every month, Rocky's been faithful, coming up here and open the doors. And we see guys who would otherwise never step foot in church gather here at North Hills to play some board games and, again, to experience the love, I believe, of Christ, even in that kind of fellowship. We've seen multiple one-on-one discipleship groups happening this year. Many we know about and many we don't know about. But we see men and women, young men and women as well, connecting to one another through one-on-one discipleship. And hope we'll see even more of that in 2020. This past Christmas season, we had a leadership gathering of over 30 adults gathered as leadership here at North Hills. And so many of our membership at North Hills are involved in some capacity in some form of leadership. Very exciting. We had three of our members this past year in 2019 go on mission outside of the country. And so we had folks going for the gospel to our, not just our neighbors, but to our nations as well. And we've seen an increase in financial giving over 2018 to 2019, an increase in our budget in 2020. So God has been faithful even in the finances of North Hills. And I'm sure that there are many moments, there are many things that we have missed, there are many things that we could celebrate that we have not mentioned this morning. But God, the point is that God has done this. This has not been visionary leadership of the elders of North Hills. It's not been through strategic planning or any of these things. It has been through the Holy Spirit of God working in and through His people to accomplish these things. And so I look forward to what 2020 is going to look like. Is what we'll celebrate this time next year for what God does this year. As we look back on 2019, we can look to the greatness of God and all that He has done. And again, it's not charismatic leadership. It's not strategic planning. It's not marketing. It's the Spirit of God at work in His people, both to begin and continue His work. And so we have to be careful that we don't trust the Lord to begin something and then we take it over. Thanks God for starting that. I've got it from here. But we trust the Lord to begin and continue His work. And this morning, not only do we take the time to celebrate what God has done in His church, but also to reflect on who we are as a church. Now go with me to Acts chapter 2. If you've been with us for any length of time, if you remember, if you're at North Hills, we have camped in Acts 2 quite often. Maybe the second most common passage we go to outside of pick one in Ephesians. But we go to Acts 2 quite often. Acts 2 is the particular scripture that God kind of has helped us focus on and be our foundation, the beginning of North Hills. We desire to be the bride of Christ. We desire to be a local gathering of God's people. Well, how do we do that? How do we operate as a church? You know, you don't go to Lifeway and buy manuals on that. You go to God's Word. How do we be the church? How has God set His church up? North Hills began in 2011 with a deep desire to reflect the heart and the nature of the New Testament church. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it says, and they being the New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit has come. If you go through Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 there, see this beautiful work of the Spirit. The Spirit has come and has filled God's people. Peter is preaching. Thousands of people are coming to know the Lord, are being saved, it says there in verse 41. So those who received His word are baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. We see the church beginning, the first century church, as we often call it. And they, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Those four things. To the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had everything in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, as we have before, we could unpack this passage and spend weeks and weeks in it. But we see just kind of this, a reminder of what the church is to look like. The people of God who are gathered, who not only love the Lord and look to the Lord and are growing in the Lord through the apostles' teaching, but they love each other and they're growing in their love for one another. As we see in the New Testament after Acts chapter 2, if I remember right, 59 times that we see the church, one another, love one another and be patient with one another and care for one another and serve one another. All of these one another's, we see this beginning right here that the church of God gather as the people of God to do the will and the work of God. And so North Hills is desired and still desires. And as long as our doors are open, our desire will be to be a church that reflects the beauty of the gospel of Christ, to be a church that reflects the bride of Christ as we are. And Acts chapter 2 gives us this refreshingly simple and beautiful picture of the church. And from this understanding of the early church is how North Hills gets our mission and vision. And we don't say it often enough, but North Hills, our mission is to what? That's the most confidence I've ever heard North Hills say it. I'm going to be choked up here. But our mission is to glorify God by gathering, growing, giving, and going. More specifically, North Hills desires to be a gathering of Christ followers led by the Holy Spirit who are faithfully growing, sacrificially giving, and continually going for the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may that always be our heart. And that's not in some fancy mantra. That's not in some fancy slogan we put together. But that is found right here in Acts chapter 2. To be committed for the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gathering, growing, giving, and going. Our four G's continue to be our stated mission and vision here at North Hills Church. They sum up the biblical call both to the believer and the bride of Christ. All of us, individually and corporately, we should desire to gather as God's people, to grow in Christ's likeness, to give as Christ has given to us, and to go with the good news of the gospel. This should be the desire of all of us here at North Hills. And we should be led by that desire and by that zeal, as we'll see this morning. And as I and the other elders here at North Hills Church, as we reflect on our corporate gathering, growing, giving, and going, we recognize that we are doing very well in some areas and need to ask the Lord's help and grace to grow in others. And so briefly, to look at these things as we reflect on them, as we think about gathering. And honestly, I think we've done well in gathering since the beginning. There's always ways that we can improve and strengthen and grow. But we've had sweet fellowships here at North Hills Church. And I would dare say that you will not find a sweeter, more sincere fellowship and group of Christ followers than you'll find here at North Hills. And my thoughts are oftentimes confirmed as I meet with first-time visitors or those who've been with us for a while. And I hear so often that as I came to North Hills, I just felt this immediate sense of connection and love. And you don't get that in every church. For those who've been and you've visited in churches in different places, there is a true, genuine spirit of love in our service, I believe, every Sunday. Whether you're a guest or a member, if it's your first time here, you've likely have left this place feeling cared for. And that's not the case in all congregations. Last week, Eric and I, as we were traveling, went to a church, and we, like most folks visiting churches, which I have hardly ever had that feeling of visiting a church in all my years as an adult, I could probably count on one hand the number of times that I've been in a place that, especially a new person in a church, which no one knew me. So we sought out a church, a like-minded church in the Houston area, and found one, and was just their website was great and just kind of really showed they were very like-minded and had the same values of North Hills. And so we went, and the long story short, it was a great service. The gospel was preached and music was gospel centered, and all these things seemed to be very healthy of the church. But Eric and I couldn't get over it, you know, and we were very intentional. I didn't go in there. Eric wasn't going there, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a reformed pastor, I want to, you know, meet and shake and hug and let's talk strategy and all this stuff. But we didn't do that. We went in and we got the normal welcome line. We got our cup of coffee and went and sat down. We sat down very intentionally right in the middle of their worship area. And we were there 15 minutes early, which none of y'all are ever 15 minutes early, okay? I'm just saying. We were there early. Got there early. We sat down. And I promise you, for 15 to 20 minutes, not a single soul said hi to us. A single soul greeted, except one person who turned out to be a guest. And so we just had this overwhelming feeling of, you know, it's almost even hard to connect to the Word of God because of the lack of the care and the love of God. And so may we be a people, not that it's the Word of God that draws, it's the Word of God that saves, it's the Word of God that sustains, but may we be a people of God that extends the love and care and compassion and warmth of God here in our gatherings on Sunday mornings and all the gatherings of North Hills Church. That we be a congregation who continually loves one another and serves one another and cares for one another. That we continually, joyfully gather on Sunday mornings and during the week for community groups. I pray that if we miss a gathering at North Hills, I pray that it's a weighty decision, because this is truly the gathered people of God that we get to be a part of. And so not only do we assess our gathering, but we also assess our growing. You know, what does it look like to grow at North Hills? And as we celebrated all of those things earlier, just a few moments ago, most of those had to do with growing. And I believe that North Hills has demonstrated to be a church and to be a people and a group of individuals that truly desire to grow in Christ's likeness, who truly desire to grow in the Word of God. We're constantly looking for ways to grow in the Word of God. When I think about North Hills Church and how we have grown and continue to grow in Christ's likeness, I think of what Paul said to the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 1. So if you want to flip over there real quick, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so we see Paul, he is grateful, he is thankful, he is acknowledging that this church of Colossae is growing in their knowledge, their wisdom and understanding, and their desire to be more like Christ in all their good works and their fruit, the knowledge of the Lord. And I believe at North Hills is that we can celebrate and we can acknowledge, and as we think on and dwell on what God is doing, that we have desired to grow. We have desired to become more like Christ. And I pray that we never think we've arrived and that we continue to look to Christ, trusting in the work of the Lord, that it is His work that grows us to become more like Him. I'm continually amazed at the work of Jesus Christ and those here at North Hills. Many, if not all of us, to different degrees, have walked through difficult times, some even this past year. Yet we have looked to the Lord and placed our trust in Him. And so may we continue to grow in Christ's likeness and trusting the Lord and walking with the Lord in 2020. And thirdly, as we assess where we are in our four G's, we look at give. How are we a church that is giving? When I think about how we as a church give, it is both easy and difficult to measure. Now, most of you know this about me. I am a numbers guy. I am a nerd. I am a geek. I am all things Excel. You give me an Excel spreadsheet, and I think it's the sixth love language. I love numbers. And you can ask Erica. She's not. And so when a conversation starts, hey, Erica, do you want to see? And she says, no. But she humors me because she loves me. She comes over and looks at the numbers, and she pretends like, oh, that's great. I love numbers. And so it's easy to a degree, right? It's easy to a degree to assess growth, especially financial growth and giving growth and even some of these other areas, and look how many people we've had in Sunday school or how many people we've had in attendance. It's easy to quantify certain things, but yet it's also difficult to measure, as we'll see. On one hand, giving is easy to measure. We can count dollars. We can create spreadsheets. We can look at statistics. We can look at trends. We can compare ourselves to others in the Southern Baptist Convention. We can do all these different things. We can count how many folks are giving of their time and are serving. We can count how many people are considered leaders here at North Hills. We can count how many people are on stage and how that has grown. We can count all these different things. We can measure giving. We can measure giving through money. We can measure giving through serving. We can measure giving through talents. But yet, in some degree, we cannot. Dollars and hours, they tell one side of the story, but the heart may tell another side. Jesus was clear that it's not the size of the gift, but the desire of the heart. That a person can give very great amounts and they can serve. We've seen this so often in the church historically. Maybe you've experienced this even before, hopefully before North Hills, that you can serve endlessly. You can wear yourself out and, you know, and serving and doing and all these different things in the church. But where is your heart? Where is your zeal? A person can give abundantly, yet miss the heart of the gospel. Why is it that we give? But I would dare say that rarely will someone understand what Christ has given them and yet not in turn desire to give back of their time, talents, and treasures. And let me say that again. You can fake one side of it. You can give and give and give, and you can give money, and you can fill the basket, and you can fill time, and you can spend 10 hours up at the church and do all these things. You can fake it. But I think it's much harder to fake the other. If you really understand the gospel, or are trying to understand the gospel, and you know what Christ has done for you, you're looking to Christ, and you realize all that He has given you, and all that He's done for you, and the way that He has served us, than not to turn around and not have a desire to give and not to have a desire to serve, not to have a desire to give of our talents, I believe is next to impossible. Because it goes back to motivation. Why do we give? We give because He has given us. We give because He has first and freely given to us. So may 2020 be a year that we give regularly, generously, and even sacrificially, because that is how Christ is given to the church. And then our fourth G there is go. And it's almost like every year that we have done a state of the church address, and as often as elders as we gather and assess and look at the lifeblood of our church, let's say that this is, if not often, always, our greatest struggle. And how do we go? How do we go with the gospel? How do we take the gospel to our neighbors and nations? Not only has Christ commanded us to go to our neighbors and nations, it should be the heart of every believer to share the good news of Jesus Christ. All these things are heart issue. You can gather without a heart, right? You can grow, you know, intellectually without your heart growing. You can give without giving of your heart. You can go even without your heart being given to Christ. And so it should be the desire, it should be the aim, it should be the motivation of every single believer to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a guilt trip. Oh, you know what? I hadn't shared the gospel with anybody this past year. I haven't led anybody to the Lord. I haven't baptized anybody. I haven't brought anybody to church. He's talking to me. Yes, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to those who bring all kinds of folks to church. I'm talking to the church to say it should be our desire to share the gospel. And so what does that look like in sharing the gospel? What does it look like taking the gospel to our neighbors and nations? Taking the gospel is not what we think it may be, what we may think it be. And you're growing it up and track, okay, I got to have a pocket full of track, and I'm going through McDonald's, I got to be nice, I got to be sweet, I got to leave my track, or, you know, hey, I'm not going to leave a tip today, I got him a good tip, I got the gospel. That's not sharing the gospel. But it is being the hands and feet and the heart and the mouth of Christ. It is sharing the good news in all sorts of ways, but it's ultimately sharing the good news. I believe one of the things that has hurt our practical and personal evangelism in the church is this belief. And I don't even think St. Francis of Assisi said it. No one can disprove me on that. But share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Honestly, church, I think it's a crock. I think to share the gospel, we share the word. That we point people to Christ. That we tell them, we use words to share the hope that we have. To say, yeah, 2019 is a horrible year for me. It's a horrible year for my family. But you know what? I trust the Lord. You know what? I've been where you are, friend. I've been through health issues. I've gone through cancer. I've lost a loved one. I'm filling the blank. But let me tell you, the hope that I have is Christ. And let me tell you why He is my hope. So sharing the gospel isn't necessarily putting a tract in someone's hand. But please, don't let me sway that. If you've got tracts, give them to people, okay? Born to Christ. But don't hide behind that. Let us be a people that the gospel new, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is on our lips. Because the reality is we do not lack opportunity. I have to correct myself pretty often in my prayers. Many times I'll start the day, Lord, give me an opportunity today. Oh, I said, stop. Lord, I hear you laughing. Every one of us have opportunities every single day. Every single day to share the gospel with somebody. And if you're locked up in a room by yourself all day long, share the gospel with yourself. Now, I don't even say that kidding, because the gospel is not just good news to the lost. It's still good news to the saved. That God not only saves us, but He sustains us. We need to look to Him and trust Him. Where it fights our depression, it fights our anxiety, it fights our brokenness as we look to the Lord. And so maybe we need to stop trying to identify people in our life who are lost and just start sharing the gospel with everybody and see what God does with it. Like Paul and Apollos, let plant the gospel seeds and water those gospel seeds and trust the Lord to bring the growth. Maybe you look at your life and kind of dismally, man, I just haven't seen growth. Well, stop looking at your life and measuring your life and how we go with the gospel and how we share with the gospel. Stop measuring it by results. We leave those results to the Lord. I love what it says in Acts. So all these things the church did, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, to prayers. I mean, they gave their lives to each other. They sold all their stuff. They paid for each other's bills. They did all these things. They met daily in the temple. They met their homes. They had hospitality. They were living out the very being of the church. They were being the bride of Christ. And that wasn't their strategy for people being added to the church and added to their number. It was the Lord, it says there in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So we leave the growth to the Lord. So let us be a people who are committed to going to our neighbors and nations. Let's be a people who have a desire to go to the nations. And we can talk about sharing the gospel and being Christ and sharing the good news to our coworkers, to our families, to our friends, but there is an entire world out there that God has pressed on His church. Not just the church down the street, not just the big church with all the resources, not just big mission organizations, not just those full-time career missionaries that we see pictures of, not just those that receive Lottie Moon funds, but He's called us. And so may we look for, may we respond to opportunities this year to go, to leave our comfort zone, to spend a lot of money, to take time away from our families, to take time away from our work and our hobbies. And let us go spend 4 or 5 days, a week, 10 days, sharing the gospel in other parts of the world. Whenever we realize what God has done for us and how we are so undeserving of His grace, we ought to be compelled to go. Yet we do well in our gathering, growing, and mostly in our giving. But oftentimes we struggle in our going. So may this year that we be reminded that we are to be a people who are sent. The great reminder of the gospel is that Christ will save His people. Christ will save His people. It is ultimately not up to us, but God has chosen to use men and women and boys and girls of all ages to share the redeeming good news of Christ to a lost and dying world. It's not opportunity we lack. It is simply that we don't act. We don't prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to go, to share Christ with our family, with our friends, our co-workers, and to the mission field. And so one thing that we prayerfully hope will take root this year is that through even the arm of our community groups, is that we will be much more intentional in praying for our lost friends, families, co-workers, and nations. And that as community groups, we will encourage one another to seize those opportunities to share the gospel. And that we will see our community groups be an arm, not just for gathering and growing, but to be an arm for going with the gospel. As we look forward to 2020, as a pastor, as an elder, it brings me great relief that we don't have to be innovative, that we don't have to be imaginative, that it's not up to us to build the church of God. I'm so thankful that pressure is not on us to figure new and creative things this year that we can do. Our call, all of us as the people of God, is to be faithful to the Word of God and to the work of God and to submit to the will of God. Let us then, therefore, with great zeal, be committed to gathering, growing, giving, and going for the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for a chance to gather as Your people, Lord, as You have enabled us to do so many times. And I pray that You continue to gather this congregation, Lord, never for our glory, never for our name, Lord, but for Your glory and Your name's sake. And as we gather, may by the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ, may You fill this place, may You fill our hearts and our minds, and You enable us, Lord, to respond as we leave this place to continually be Your bride. Lord, this morning, as we do every week, as we have an opportunity to respond to Your word through giving, Lord, as we have an opportunity to respond prayerfully and mindfully, Lord, this morning, God, I just pray that we would respond by the strength of Your Holy Spirit. And that this year, Lord, not that we need resolutions and not that we need lofty goals, but may we have a renewed zeal, a joyful expectation, God, of being a part of Your work. Thank You, Lord, for those in this room, Lord, who have covenanted with North Hills Church, with each other, to be a people who are committed to gathering, growing, giving, and going for the gospel of Christ. So have Your way in these next few moments. May we respond in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.